Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Dawn, and just want to say hi to Joe because I haven't seen him for a couple of weeks now, but just keep him in your prayers. He's doing fine. He's just not available this time. I just want to say happy anniversary to him and Dion, and we'll continue to pray that, you know, God would just continue to bless your union. And so as we go a little deeper today, I just want to remind you that you can subscribe at plantation.sda.tv, plantationsda.tv, and also at 954-388-8780 for any questions that you may have on this podcast. And today, I'd like to welcome our pastor, senior pastor, Pastor Rose. How are you, Pastor? I haven't actually seen you for a while, but
it's been a while since we have been a while on together. And we want to give a shout out to Joe and Dion as they seek to renew. I understand that it's their 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary. Yes, so it is.
Shout out to
Wonderful.
Them. Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome. But it's good to be with you. It's good to be with you.
Good to see
you. Been a while. Yes.
Yes, it has been a while. And so also to all our podcast listeners, we'd just like to say thank you again for subscribing and for being part of our podcast. And now, just before we go into everything, we're just going to have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness. We thank you for the way that you continue to teach us through your word. We ask now, God, that as we go a little deeper, that you'll just bring to our minds the things that you want to really discuss so we can have them within our lives. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, justice like a mighty stream. Where did you get that title from?
Well, it's right there. It's right there in the text in verse, I think my verse was verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
I like to, as much as possible, mm-hmm. lift the topic from the text.
Exactly.
To focus on the text. Mm-hmm. And as I indicated during the presentation, this was one of the favorite verses for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
This is one of those verses that both was inspirational and aspirational for the civil rights movement of the 1960s. And so I thought it would be fitting to look at that in light of our justice ministry there at the church, trying to get that into full gear. I thought that this would be a clarion call of sorts to get that going. Yeah, so that's the genesis of the topic and the theme and the tenor of this past Sabbath's message.
So remind me, is this the beginning of your bold justice, or is this the ending of bold justice?
Actually, it's the culmination, the highlight of the year.
Okay.
Our Nehemiah action we just had it this past Monday
right.
the 18th
yes.
actually the 18th, 18th of March
yes.
and
18th.
Full house, very good support. We had almost, well, we counted 75 of our folks who showed up, and that's a dramatic increase over last year. It was a tremendous success from that perspective.
Okay, so explain to me about the Nehemiah action. Why? What is the reason for having that?
So,
bold justice in itself.
Yeah. So, bold justice ministry, for those who may not be conversant with it, it's a nonprofit organization made up of congregations, people of faith, and the BOLD is an acronym that stands for Broward Organized Leaders Doing Justice. And so we have what is called a Nehemiah action, where we seek to confront our public officials on issues we're working on. And this is from the template of Nehemiah, the prophet Nehemiah, when there was that issue there among God's people, and the people raised up their concern, their cries to Nehemiah, and he called this great assembly to hold these officials accountable. And so we kind of model it from that. Yes. So we call it the Nehemiah action.
And so what do they engage in?
And so we are currently, we're working on three main issues. One of them, the we've been having a serious issue when it comes to heat here in Broward County. And the research has shown that planting more trees would help. So we started working on that. We have a member of our county, county government, who is responsible for that. He's called the resilience officer. And we have been pushing the issue with them. And so last year, they committed to supplying trees throughout the county. So far, we have distributed 300 trees.
Oh, wow.
Free. And we'll be doing more. We want to hit about at least 1,000 trees being circulated, distributed throughout the county. And this is from our resilience officer at the county. But this is an issue that we were pushing because we believe if we plant more trees, that will help in terms of reducing the heat in the county. Also, the issue of affordable housing, that's an issue that we just started looking at. We're doing the research. We are getting with stakeholders to understand the problem, more. Of course, there are those of us who understand it experientially. Essentially, the rent is high, mortgage is high. It's hard to find affordable housing here in South Florida. And finally, we're talking about reducing unnecessary arrest, ensuring that people in the county, first-time non-felony offenders, will get a civil citation instead of an arrest record. Civil citation instead of an arrest record, which could brand them for life. And so those are the issues that we're pushing on. And to the extent that we have people of faith showing up and offering solutions and praying. And so we are a bit stuck on the issue of civil citations as it relates to non-felony driving offenses. We're having a bit of pushback there. And so tomorrow morning, that's Thursday, the 21st of March at 10, we're going to be having a prayer rally. We want to get at least 100 people. We'll be praying. We'll spend about an hour praying for our sheriff, praying for law enforcement, praying for those families who've been affected by needless arrest, and praying that we'll get a breakthrough on this issue. So we'll be praying as part of the process. So those are the three major things that we're pushing on and we're praying about.
Interesting. I think somebody did send me an article with you and a few of the other members of the team. You were doing a press conference.
We had a press conference.
What was that for?
Well, we had a press conference because we've been trying to meet with our sheriff. When we started a conversation with him, we got some traction, some good responses. He had agreed on a particular direction, and then he had passed it on to one of his subordinates. And then we later learned that the policy was not in place as we thought it was in place, and so we have been trying to meet with him since. He has been busy, and we've just been meeting with underlings, but we're not satisfied to meet with subordinates or underlings. We want to meet with him because he's a decision maker. And so he's been avoiding that meeting. And so we had a press conference to push the issue as part of pushing the issue. So in addition to the press conference, as I mentioned, we'll be having a prayer rally because we do believe as people of faith that prayer changes things. And so we'll be praying about it tomorrow morning at 10.
Whereabouts will you be having this prayer rally?
So we're having it right there at the sheriff's office.
Okay.
They have a large courtyard there. So we'll be meeting in the courtyard, and hopefully that will catch his attention and he'll invite us up for a meeting.
Okay. All right. We'll be praying that works out for you. So let's get into your sermon. I found it fascinating about justice. I think that we tend to think, well, if we just pray about a few things, then you know, things would just go fine. Not thinking that, you know, we have to stand up for people. I found it fascinating, your sermon. But let justice run like water. Yes. And righteousness like a mighty stream. If we're looking at this verse in the context that it was written, how do we know that God is really telling us that, you know, we need to be vigilant with this situation?
Well, one of the things that I did on Sabbath, and I'm sure you might have caught it, Dawn, is to help us appreciate that in this single verse and the way the verse begins, we see a shift. Anytime there is a conjunction, it's not only, you know, serving to join what's been mentioned before the but and what's mentioned after the but, right? But sometimes it seeks to shift, you know, what's happening after the but prior to, you know, what came before the but. So I was trying to show in the verse how God was saying, this is what you've been doing, Israel, my people. This is how you've been behaving. You have been mistreating folks. You have been taking advantage of folks. You have been robbing folks. You've been cheating folks. You've been using the system to get the better of people. And at the same time, you're coming to church. You're coming to offer sacrifices to me. And thinking that it's okay. You know, I can do anything I want to do as long as I come to church, as long as I check the boxes, as long as I return my tithe and my offering, as long as I do the sacrifices. And you think that's what I want. But God is saying, no. That's not what I want. And so he says, what I want is for justice, right, to rain down. You think that it's the offerings that will somehow make things right. You think that presenting your sacrifices will appease me. And God is saying, no. What I want instead is for justice to be like rivers and justice to rain down like a torrent. You know, that's what I am interested in. In other words, God is saying, I am more interested in how you treat people than you paying attention to the rituals and the rites and the ceremonies. And I just thought, Dawn, I would lift that up, because sometimes as we seek to practice our faith, we can get caught up in the rituals. And by the way, rituals have their place. Rites have their place. Ceremonies have their place. Right. I'm not seeking to knock that, and God certainly is not doing that. But we can get to that point as we seek to live out our faith where the ritual and the rites and the ceremonies, they become more important than how we treat people. And that's what I was seeking to lift up with this message.
Wow. So in the section in Amos,
yes,
this particular time frame, they had a lot of rituals that they used to do. There was a lot of different things that had to be in place. Yes. Nowadays, we can look at that and say, well, they had a lot of rituals. We've done away with all of those things. Do you think we're still holding on to certain things that allow us to just treat people like, you know, you need to do X, Y, Z in order to show that you are a proper Christian?
Yes, we do have the checklist approach to faith. There are folks who believe, you know, as long as you eat the right thing, as long as you wear the right thing, as long as you worship on the right day, you're okay. And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying that these things are not okay.
Exactly.
But what's happening here in Amos chapter 5 is God is saying, you cannot expect that I'm going to honor all these other things if you're not treating people right. In other words, God is saying, one of the ways you and I live out our faith or one of the ways our faith is demonstrated is how we treat others. And I find that even today, as you and I are speaking, there are people of faith who believe that if I wrong someone or if I treat someone unfairly, all I need to do is perhaps say a bunch of Hail Marys or do penance, or I need to say X amount of prayers, or I can make it up by attending church. And God is saying, as good as those things may be, they are no substitute for treating others fairly. And God says, what I want from you in this context is not the sacrifices and the ceremonies. What I want for you to do is to make things right, is to treat people fairly. And so in that way, Dawn, we can be doing this. So for example, I can be a Christian business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And if in the course of my business and interacting with clients or customers, they leave with the impression that I'm not being fair, that I'm not being courteous. If my employees leave the job site or leave the office every day thinking he's just the worst boss ever, you know, and justifiably so. Of course, you know, people always have their opinions, but mm-hmm. justifiably so. I can't ignore that and believe I can go to church and worship God and be all right. No, I've got to ensure that I am treating my workers fairly. I'm holding them accountable, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm treating them fairly. That at the end of the day, they must be able to say in all fairness, you know, not my type of guy I hang out with, but you know what? He treats us fairly. He treats us fairly. I see that his faith is in action, because we can, and I see too often, we can create a dichotomy between our faith on the weekend on and the way we relate to people during the week.
Oh, yes.
And that's what God is saying. I want to make it abundantly clear. God is not saying to them at this point that the ceremonies and the rites and the sacrifices were not important and were no longer applicable. They were, because as some of you who are listening to this know, these ceremonies and these sacrifices, they pointed to Jesus. They were a shadow of things to come, Jesus being the reality of the shadow. And so they pointed to Jesus. And so they had their place, and the time had not yet come for them to be made extinct or null and void, right? Because Jesus had not yet come in this context of Amos.
Correct.
And so what God is saying is, as important as those sacrifices and rites are, what's more important to me is how you treat others.
So I'm just looking at it from a perspective of the board justice.
Yes.
I see that you're doing some amazing things, some amazing initiatives in order to reach the community and justify them for, you know, the different aspects, especially like for the citations and being on their record, etc. But for somebody who is not involved in that, just comes to church, goes home, comes to church, goes home, this is like the norm. Yes. They can say, well, I'm fine where that comes from. I am actually, are they really fine though? Do we need to take stock of the way that we are treated? We could say that we treat people kindly. We don't really have arguments with anybody within church. So, you know,
I'm glad you asked that, Dawn, because I referenced two references. There was, I think it was Burke, who had mentioned about the only thing for evil to triumph is for good people to say nothing or do nothing.
Do nothing.
And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. saying that we can be complicit with our silence. You know. So it's not just a matter of I am not harming people, as good as that is, but it's also a matter of when people are being harmed or when people are being taken advantage of. And if I am in a position to speak up for them, do I speak up for them?
Yes.
Or do I keep silent? And sometimes, let's be honest, because of fear, we keep silent,
yes.
right? We say, well, that's none of my yes. business.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to get involved, mm-hmm. you know? And so we keep silent. And in the context of bold justice, now with bold justice, we offer a chance for people or an opportunity. That's the word I'm looking for. We offer an opportunity for folks to speak up, but we speak up in an instructive way, right? We're not, as the kids used to say, we're not raging against the machine. You know, we're not trying to burn the house down, anything like that. What we're trying to do is say, listen, this is unfair. This is not right. And this is how this should be done. And this is how we can make this right. We're seeking to give voice for those who feel they have no voice.
Mm.
And we believe, based on scripture, that this is part of living out our faith.
Mm.
Part of living out our faith is to give a voice for those who have no voice, is to stand up for those who need someone to stand up for them. So it's not just about me doing no harm, right? That's important that I do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important for me, if I see that harm is being done, if I see that others are being treated unfairly, and I have an opportunity to speak up, I should speak up. To keep silent, Dr. King said, is complicity, is to be complicit.
Mm. But it's just like you said, the pastor, sometimes you, especially within church, you'll say, well, you know, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be the bad guy. Or I didn't want to be being nosy in that situation. How do you know when you really need to speak up and when you need to sometimes be quiet and mind your business?
Yeah, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, I think he'll offer a guide. But more importantly, I think when we create an atmosphere or in this context, we create an opportunity for folks to speak up, a forum for folks to speak up, we can encourage more and more people to speak up. Because part of what we do in our bold justice ministry approach is that we have what is called a listening process, where we're listening to different stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from those stories we decide as a community, what are the issues we should address?
Okay.
I mean, there are a number of issues we could look at. And so we're not just plucking issues out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening to stories because we find the issues in these stories. And stories are important because stories help to, we say, personalize the issue. Because sometimes we can get so focused on the issue that we forget that there are people who are being affected by said issue, right? And so we look at the story. So all I'm saying is, Dawn, we provide a context and a forum for folks to speak up. So it's not about an individual approach, but it's a collective group approach. So for example, in the Nehemiah template, right, the folks spoke to Nehemiah about how they were being treated unfairly by the officials.
Right.
They were taxing them. They were charging them, well, loans and huge fees and taking advantage of their situation. And even they would even enslave some of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they cried out to Nehemiah, who perhaps was not aware as to the extent of the problem. And what he did, he called an assembly so that they would address the issue as collectively, as a group, and not an individual, you know, feeling I have to, if I'm not speaking out, no one is speaking out. And so I think providing a forum where people feel if there is something wrong, I have a channel, I have a forum through which I can speak. But in our everyday interaction, when we see folks being treated unfairly, as God gives us opportunity, we should speak up. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it that is not disruptive, There's a way to do it that is not disrespectful, because you will notice in our approach in justice ministry, we have the utmost respect for the leaders. And even though sometimes they don't respect us and they're very insulting, we don't do that because we're Christians, right? And we're people of faith. But we push back hard on the issues, and we push back hard to hold them accountable. But at the end of the day, we do believe that our leaders are souls to be saved. We do believe that some of our leaders, they're doing the best they can.
Right.
And sometimes when they hear our collective voices, that may inspire and motivate them to move the issue along. And so if we must confront evil, we must do it fairly but firmly.
Yes.
Fairly but firmly.
Mm. How many faiths are involved in Birth Justice?
So right now we have 21 congregations, and we have two of our congregations that are Jewish congregations, Messianic congregations, mm-hmm. Jewish congregations rather. And so most of our congregations are Christian congregations, mm-hmm. and two of our congregations are Jewish congregations.
Oh, okay. And you all come together on a regular basis. How often do you usually meet?
So we have four major events throughout the year. As I mentioned earlier, we start with our listening process, mm-hmm. where we meet in what we call house meetings. And these are meetings that can be held, you know, between 8 to 10 persons. And we have a facilitator who will listen. And these are people drawn from the church community and the wider community. Mm-hmm. We'll have these leaders who will meet with them just to find out. And one of our icebreaker questions is, and perhaps we need to change the framing of that, I'll tell you a joke in a minute why, but we usually ask the question, what keeps you up at night? What are the issues that bother you? And I remember I led a meeting, and I began with that question, what keeps you up at night? And one guy said, me? Nothing. I just go to my bed and sleep. Nothing bothers me.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, we seek to kind of, you know, change that to say, you know, what are some things that concern you? Because he took it literally. You know,
literally.
He took it literally.
Yeah.
Took it literally. So we have a listening process where so that's the first step, our listening process. And then after that, we have what is called a community problems assembly, where we decide now, based on all the things we've been hearing stories, what three issues will we work on for the year?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a criteria, a set of criteria as to, you know, is this an issue that affects a certain amount of people? Is this an issue mm-hmm. that is winnable within the year? Is it an issue where we can get serious traction? Mm-hmm. Can we get information on the issue? Can we do research on the issue? Mm-hmm. And then we'll take a vote. We'll come together and vote the issues. Mm-hmm. And then after that, now we form what is called our issue groups, who will do the research on the issue.
Right.
And so we're tapping into data from different sources, sometimes university sources, sometimes other governmental sources. We'll look at best practices around the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, with similar municipalities. And mm-hmm. so we do have people who will do the research. So mm-hmm. by the time we meet with the officials, Dawn, we have a good appreciation for the nature of the problem, mm-hmm. but also we have suggested solutions. Okay,
nice.
So we're not just, you know, holding up placards protesting, you know, but we're coming to the table with workable solutions, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we find it's a matter of priority. Sometimes mm-hmm. for the elected official, that's not the priority, you know, mm-hmm. and they have no interest in that. But as we push the issue, and as they realize that there's a groundswell there, and we have the numbers, mm-hmm. critical mass, then we get their attention. And so after that, we move into our Nehemiah action, where we're celebrating now that mm-hmm. we've moved the issue. We're getting positive response from the stakeholders and the decision makers. And then we close out the year with a celebration where we celebrate our wins. And so if you're part of the justice ministry, you typically will be engaged at least four times for the year. But the major event, you know, that we target is the Nehemiah event, because that's the event where we bring our elected officials. And one of the things that we know about our elected officials, they like to see a lot of people. They like to see the numbers. When you have the people power, they will give you a listening ear.
Of course.
And so that's part of the process. And of course, you can be involved in the research part of it. We do have right now two full-time workers, that is, we call them organizers. We have two full-time organizers. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're out there and you are interested in being an organizer, you can reach out to me or any member of the team. We're looking for another organizer. We want to have at least three full-time organizers. And these are the folks who will make the calls, arrange for the meetings, set the meetings up. They will set up the research and we get the research going. If you want to be part of a research team too, you can reach out to me if you want to research on, because right now the issue that we're going to be, it's a new issue for us, and that's the matter of affordable housing. We're getting with the Urban League in a matter of days. We have a meeting scheduled with them because they're doing some stuff on affordable housing too. And we'll be meeting with the county. I think the county has something in the budget as it relates to affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be, you know, pushing that and finding out some more about that. So if you are interested in being a part of a research team, you can be part of that. But in the typical Bull Justice year, we have four major events. Mm-hmm. And the Nehemiah Action is the event, because it's the event where we invite our public officials, as Nehemiah did, to hold him accountable.
I noticed on the stage you brought somebody called Eric, and I know because I had a phone call from him. What does Eric do? What is his role?
Oh, man, he's one of our persistent organizers. He's like that dog that has a bone that will not let it go.
That will not let it down.
Yes, that's Eric Plumbai. He's one of our associate lead organizers and just a terrific young man, really making the calls. Yeah, so we brought all the Justice Ministry team leaders up, you know, because these are the ones who are making the calls. Mm-hmm. So for example, the Nehemiah Action, we ask folks to attend and bring three or more persons with you.
Okay.
Because again, it's about the numbers and getting traction with the numbers. So I was seeking dawn on Sabbath to show from the word through Amos that part of living out our faith includes us giving a voice for people. That we can't say we are faithful and we're believers if matters of justice and equity are not top of mind for us. Because God is saying they are top of mind for him.
Exactly.
God is concerned with how the poor is treated. Exactly. God is concerned with how people are treated in our society. And one of the things I touched on, Dawn, let me go there. I fear sometimes as a church that are, and I use this big word, is, and I'm going to explain, it's a simple word in terms of its meaning, that sometimes our eschatology as a church interferes with our non-involvement. Eschatology has to do with end time events and how we see, according to prophecy, how things are going to shape up. Right. And we can take an approach that says, well, you know, the Bible says it's going to get worse. So what am I to do? You know, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. But no, we believe that we must occupy before he comes, and that we must brighten the corner where we are, and where we can get traction in moving things along, we should do that. We should do that. I also pointed out, and this is important, that the judgments of God, when we look at Scripture, the judgments of God, they are always conditional. His love is unconditional. He loves us, and even when people will be destroyed in the fires of hell, it will be done by loving God. Okay, God loves us. doesn't mean that we escape from the consequences, right? We can escape the consequences by accepting his love, by responding to his love, and hence we can avert his judgments. In other words, I'm saying God's judgments are not inevitable. And that is borne out in the book of Amos, that God is saying to his people, if you would change your ways, if you would walk right, if you would fly right, straighten up and fly right, then I'll avert the judgment. Of course, they didn't. And we know the story. They ended up in Babylonian captivity as a result of that. And one of the sins that are highlighted in Amos chapter 5 are the sins of injustice, are the sins of taking advantage of the poor. Those are the sins that are being addressed in chapter 5. And I believe in 2024, God is still calling me. And he's calling you, Dawn, and everyone who listen to this podcast. God is calling us as people of faith to give a voice, to be a voice, not to engage in injustice ourselves, right? Not to treat people unfairly, but when we see people being treated unfairly, to speak up and to give a voice or lend our voice to on their behalf.
Oh, wow. Awesome. I love that. How can somebody, if they're interested, get involved in Bold Justice?
So go right ahead and contact us through the podcast here. You can reach out. Dawn shared the number earlier, or reach out to the church, plantationsda.org, and someone will get in touch with you. You don't have to be a member of our church to get involved. Of course, we want you to be a person of faith, because we do believe that one of the ways we live out our faith is by being a voice for folks and by leading in matters of justice. And I want to make it clear, this is not, you know, being the disruptor. This is not, you know, us marching with placards and, you know, anything like that. But it's about us being constructive as we give a voice. It's not just about protesting. You know, it's easy. It's easy for folks just to make up some placards and march on the sheriff's office and say their piece and go home. You know, but we want to be constructive. We want to pray. We want to say, hey, this is how this can work. And we believe that our elected officials, they are accountable to us and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And we seek as people of faith to hold them accountable.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor. The number again is 954-388-8780. If you are interested in getting involved in Bold Justice, we thank you again, Pastor. Very interesting sermon. I loved it to be able to stir us to understand, you know, how do we really treat people? Are we giving them a voice?
Yes.
You know, we have to really be mindful of, even as a Christian. All right, Pastor, could you end us with a word of prayer, please?
Sure. Father, we thank you so much for your word. There is clarity in your word as it relates to our responsibility, our individual responsibility to treat each other fairly, and also to give voice to those who feel they have no voice, those who are being mistreated, those who are not treated fairly in our society, in our sphere. We pray, Lord, that you continue to give us the courage, to give us the strength, and give us the right words as we seek to stand up for those who have been oppressed, those who have been treated unfairly. And Lord, we pray that you will help us not to be engaged in treating others unfairly. And we pray that you'll forgive us for those times when we did not treat our brother right, we did not treat our sister right, we did not treat our neighbors right. Forgive us for those times, Lord, and help us, Lord, to demonstrate your love in the way we treat others. We thank you that you did not treat us as we deserve, but that you treat us through your love and because of Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. May you continue to bless this podcast and use it. Continue to use it for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor, for your stirring message. And remember, you can always get in touch with the church and with the number 954-388-8780 if you are interested in joining Bold Justice. Thank you to all our podcast listeners. Remember, you can always subscribe to this podcast, and we look forward to allowing you to listen to us again next week. Have a great week, everyone.